Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we began our summer-long journey through Romans, a journey which we continue today, and truth be told, a journey which I was so focused on the Romans text that I didn't realize we had chosen a longer gospel reading for this morning and didn't read the whole thing that's in your bulletin. That's on me. I apologize for that. Last week, we looked at the beginning of the book of Romans. We heard Paul give us his theme for the letter, the sun around which the entire letter orbits. The righteous one lives from faith. We heard Paul expound on the nature of righteousness. He wrote that God alone is righteous, and that because he is righteous, God cannot turn a blind eye to sin. God showed his righteousness by writing it into creation itself, written on the heart, on the conscience of every person, Jew and Gentile alike. He said the law of Moses was not given to the Jews to make them righteous, but to take away all their excuses. The law was given so that every mouth might be stopped. And not only the Jews, but the whole world held accountable to God. And neither is righteousness given through circumcision, for Abraham was declared righteous before circumcision or the law of Moses ever even existed. Instead, God grants righteousness to people through faith. Apart from the works of the law of Moses, apart from circumcision, apart from any human work of any kind. Circumcision and the law may have served their God-given purpose, but that purpose was not to make people righteous. The righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law of Moses, in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as the sacrifice to reconcile God and man. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are declared righteous by his grace as a gift of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul then begins chapter 5 with these words. Therefore, because we have been declared righteous by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Peace for today, hope for the future. These are the gifts that are now ours, according to Paul, due to the fact that we have been declared righteous by God himself. This peace, it's not peacefulness as in tranquility. It's not like sitting by the river with a cup of coffee, listening to the babbling of the water on the rocks. No, this is more like peace between nations. This is a ceasefire, an end to the hostilities. It's an acknowledgement that we are no longer enemies of God, not after the reconciliation accomplished by Jesus. We're at peace with God. And because we are at peace with God, we have access to him in a way that enemies never would. Access into the full measure of God's grace, into his kindness and favor, instead of wrath and judgment. And this fills us with hope for the future. Hope for how our story ends. Because even if the details of our lives are difficult right now, we can rejoice, even in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope will never let us down, because hope doesn't depend on us. Hope depends on the love of God, which he poured out into our hearts when he gave us his Spirit. And that's where today's reading picks up. We can have such confidence in our hope for the future because we know it depends not on our ability to keep some kind of law. It depends on the faithfulness and the love of the righteous God who will not break his promises. For God showed his love for us not by dying for his allies, but by dying for his enemies in order to make them into allies. And that is what we are now, allies of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But we are now at peace. And since we are at peace with God through the blood of Christ, we rest in the certainty that we will be saved from the wrath to come. The world will always tempt us to despair. The world will always hold before our eyes the fact that death awaits us all. Adam wasn't created to die, but death entered creation after Adam sinned. And so also for us, death awaits us. And that death is the result of, and ultimately the proof of, the sins we have committed. And being free of the law of Moses, that's not going to bring us any comfort. Because it's not like it's only violations against the law of Moses that count as sin. Death already reigned in creation from the time of Adam until the time the law of Moses was given. To a certain extent, the sin of Adam and the sins of the Jews under the law of Moses were similar, because in both cases, people were sinning against a clearly spoken word of God. The Jews had the law of Moses, Adam had the command about the trees, and both sinned against the word they had been given. But death reigned over all people, even over those whose sinning was not like that of Adam, not against an explicit word of the Lord. Thus, sin existed before the law of Moses. Now, obviously, before the law of Moses, you're not held accountable for breaking the law of Moses. You can't break a law that doesn't exist yet. A person's not going to be given a speeding ticket where there is no speed limit. But as soon as the speed limit is set, anyone who drives on that road, well, they're accountable to it. So also the law of Moses. Sin against the law of Moses might not have been counted as sin before the law was given, but that doesn't mean sins against the law of Moses aren't really sins. Anything done against a clearly spoken word of God is sin, including breaking the law of Moses when it was in effect. But neither does it mean there's no sin outside the law of Moses. We know there was sin outside the law of Moses because death reigned from Adam to Moses, even before the giving of the law. And yet, trespasses and sins are not all there is. There's also the free gift of God's righteousness poured out on us. For while the trespass of Adam set into motion the pattern of all people moving from life to death on account of their sin, Jesus flipped the script. Jesus moves us from death to life. For if death reigned through Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of God's righteousness, much more will they reign in life through Jesus. The law of Moses has nothing to do with it. When the law came, it didn't make people righteous. It increased sin by increasing the expectations placed on people. But even those extra sins are all still forgiven by Christ. So even though sin increased, grace increased even more. In Christ, where death once reigned among the descendants of Adam, now life gets the last word through Jesus Christ our Lord. It brings us to the end of chapter 5. Paul will have much more to say about the law and righteousness and its place in the Christian life in the chapters to come. But two things stand out today. First, in Christ, none of us get what we deserve. None of us. We live in a world that seems to idolize the idea of fairness, equity, or fair treatment. And it's easy for us to feel like victims of some sort of personal or systemic injustice in our lives or in the world. The temptation is to use that supposed injustice to excuse away all manner of sin and all manner of failure. But Paul leaves us no wiggle room before God. Adam's sin resulted in his death. Our sin will too. It's what we confessed at the beginning of today's service, that we deserve God's punishment, not only eternally when the last day comes, but even here and now. Temporal and eternal punishment. That's what I deserve. But in Christ, none of us gets what we deserve. And thanks be to God for that. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for us who are ungodly, for us who are enemies of God, for us who deserve punishment. And so where we deserve abandonment, exile, in Christ our Lord gathers us together into his church and claims us as his own. Where we deserve wrath and condemnation, our Lord looks upon us with grace and with forgiveness. Where we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, instead, we get temporal and eternal blessings. Peace in this life, hope for the life to come. That's the second thing we can take from Paul's words in Romans 5. We gain more in Christ than we lost in Adam. Paul calls Adam a type of Christ, meaning Adam is a foreshadowing of Christ, of who he would be and what he would do. And the Old Testament is filled with such types. It's called typology. Like the Red Sea or the Jordan River as types of baptism, the sacrificial system of the tabernacle as a type of the cross and the atonement. But most of the typology in the Old Testament has what we might call positive correlation, meaning the type foreshadows something that'll be similar, but somehow better in Jesus. And so the deliverance through water at the Red Sea was good, but the deliverance through water of baptism would be even better. Paul does something a little different here. Here, Adam isn't a type of Christ by doing something Jesus would eventually do, but just do it better. Adam's a type by being the opposite of Jesus. It's a negative correlation, almost an anti-type. For if many died through Adam's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man Jesus, much more have they abounded for many. And if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as Adam's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so Jesus' act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by Adam's disobedience many were made sinners, so by Jesus' obedience the many are made righteous. Paul makes it clear. We gain more in Jesus than we lost in Adam. In Christ, we do not get what we deserve. Instead, we get peace. We get reconciliation with God here and now, peace for today, and we have the certain hope of the resurrection into the new and perfect creation when that time comes. Hope for the future. So over the next few weeks, we'll hear more and more about what it means for our daily lives and relationships. But for today, simply rest in the comfort of knowing you have a God who died for you while you were still enemies. And since we have already been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus, we have the confidence that we will receive the fullness of that reconciliation when the time comes. So no matter what life throws at us, no matter what struggles you face, we live every day and we face every challenge with hope that sustains us. For God is righteous, and he is faithful, and he has made a promise to you, and he will see it through. In Jesus' name, amen.